It's only a couple of months until Christmas, and Christmas is always portrayed as the perfect family, you know, the kids and all that sort of stuff. But I know for a fact that the reality for many, many people is that that's foreign. That might have been in the past. Today, there might be separations. There could be sharing of children. And it might mean that you do that catch up and swap over at Macca's car parks. How do we avoid that sort of stuff? Carol Pages is a family lawyer, and she's joining me now to talk about it. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Glenn.
You've lived through this, haven't you?
I have. My first separated Christmas was in 2015. My kids at the time, I have four of them, were between 5 and 11. So there's been a number of years where I've been able to put this into practice personally, as well as obviously professionally advising clients on some strategies to how best navigate Christmas.
How did you find that juxtaposition of actually trying to comfort people and look after clients at the same time you're going through that exact thing that you're sort of giving them some guidance on?
It does make it interesting, but in some ways it is a good thing because it gives me the opportunity to give people these are tried and tested solutions, so things that I've done myself in particularly in parenting for how to negotiate an outcome that's going to work for everybody and it's going to be the best arrangement possible for the kids. So it does help.
Yeah, but I kind of figure there's two types of separations. One where everyone's pretty cool, pretty kosher, we still have communications, but, you know, we just can't see eye to eye. And then there's the situation where it's war. Okay, don't want to see you, don't want anything to do with you, they might, all that sort of stuff. So do you see that, and is there a different approach to having somewhat of a Christmas that can be beneficial for the children because it's all about them?
Yes, we see all of them. So in day-to-day practice, I'll have people who have separated, they've kind of worked out an agreement between them, and they're wanting to implement that. And the best way for them to do that is to put in place consent orders that they can apply for either through a lawyer or by themselves with their family court. And then the other end of the spectrum and where I spend a lot of my time is in assisting someone who is in the thick of the dispute. So people who might be saying that they don't want the kids to go to the ex at all, or the other way around, that the children are being withheld from them. So acting on both sides, certainly at the war end, yeah.
Family lawyer Scanlon Carroll, this is Carol Pages talking to me about what happens when you've got a separation over Christmas, because it's not all beer and Skittles as portrayed in the songs and all the imagery we get. So, okay, if you could pick a couple of little nuggets out that you found over time and through your experience having separated, just pick one or two things that you reckon are your go-to to get things on a smoother track.
Yep, so the first thing is I'd say plan ahead and try and make the arrangements. Now is a great time to do that, and because we're in the situation this year where we're able to travel, so some people might be looking to travel with their kids over the Christmas period, so certainly planning ahead is a good thing. Another tip would be thinking about where this would be resolved if it went to a court or through a mediation. So for people that this might be their first separated Christmas, to have an idea of some of the options that are available to them in talking to their ex if they have recently separated. So for example, shared time on Christmas Day is one option. So that's when the kids go to sleep, say on Christmas Eve with one parent, and then they will go to sleep at the other parent's house and try and have that changeover at some point during the day. My best tip there is don't make it 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's often when people are sitting down for lunch. So have it at either 11 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock at night after lunch. Another option for negotiating the day is to alternate Christmas on odd years and even years. So of course, 2022, this is an even year. It might be mum's year to have the kids for the whole day. And then odd years, 2023, might be dad's turn. So to work it out in that way is often helpful. And when approaching your partner to talk about it, is to maybe try and plan the 2 years in advance, particularly if you've got to travel somewhere, like your relatives are somewhere else and like to spend it with extended family. It's like, well, I'll take my kids to whatever city this year, and then next year you can go with the kids to this city.
Yeah, I certainly hope people that are in this situation can come away with some bit of warm and fuzzy with the kids over Christmas, but it is a minefield, and I really appreciate, Carol, your time to come on and have a chat to me about that, and I guess they can speak to their family lawyers or friends for other advice, but thank you so much for being part of the Breakfast Experience. I appreciate it. It's great.
Thanks very much, Glenn.
Carol Page is there, family lawyer with the firm Scanlon Carroll, suggesting there may be a way around of doing the changing of the guard in the Macca's car park after the Christmas lunch scenario.